How precious. Thank you, dear sisters. We look forward to the next offering. We wish to welcome each and every one to the house of the Lord this morning, and we do so in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who we come here to have fellowship as we worship our God in spirit and in truth. We talked about the veil this morning in class. It's a pretty thin veil. The Lord said, I stand within thy view, yet undiscerned. This day we could consider the blessings of this great land which the Lord has given us. And we read from the Book of Mormon as Moroni recorded these words. And he has sworn in his wrath unto the brother of Jared that whoso should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true and only God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath should come upon them. How close are we right now to the fullness of his wrath? And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise. And whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God. Or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. Behold, this is a choice land. And whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ, who hath been manifested by the things which we have written. I asked a couple who had been going here for many, many years this morning, when is the last time we had a Pledge of Allegiance? And they reminded me that it was in February, Scout Sunday, but we don't have a scouting program, but we did it then. But before that, it's been several years. Before we stand and sing hymn number 279, would you join me in standing right now for the Pledge of Allegiance, and we'll remain standing. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
you bow with me? Oh God, the eternal Heavenly Father, it is truly a privilege and an honor to come before your throne of grace this day on behalf of those that have gathered in this room to feel thy presence and know that you are near and that we have come to serve you, O Lord, that we might become your people, one mind, one heart, one body, one soul, that we might become together as a church of the firstborn and become those people that you would have us to be. And may your gift of the Spirit honor us through your presence this day, that it might flood those that are here, that it might spill out over into those that they come into contact with today. And Father, we thank you for those that have given their lives, even their very lives, for this country that we live in, that we live free. We are a free nation. And I would pray that we would be able to return that nation to you, O Lord, that we would worship you as our only and true and living God. And it is in the blessed and holy name of thy Son, even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that I would pray these words. We thank you in his blessed name, even Jesus. Amen.
Bow with me. Dear gracious Heavenly Loving Father, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful weather that you provided for us, Lord. We come before you this morning, Lord, to learn more about you and to honor your name and to worship you, Lord. We ask at this time that you will bless the offerings that are being offered up in your name. Lord, we ask, Lord, that this money and the offerings that we are providing here, Lord, at this day, that it will be used for good works, Lord, and we ask, Lord, these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
For our scripture lesson today, it comes from Romans chapter 14. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us, therefore, follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. And by way of memory and memorial, Ether chapter 5. Excuse me. Alma 21. And it came to pass that he rent his coat, and he took a piece thereof and wrote upon it, in memory of our God, our religion and freedom, and our peace, our wives and our children. And he fastened it upon the end of a pole thereof, and he fastened on his headplate and his breastplate and his shield, and girded on his armor about his loins. And he took the pole which had on the end thereof his rent coat, and he called it the title of liberty. And he bowed himself to the earth, and he prayed mightily unto his God for the blessings of liberty to rest upon his brethren as long as there should be a band of Christians remain to possess the land. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his record. Thank you. We have already been fed. In light of Memorial Day, I selected Alma 21:41, and the word that stands out to me at this time is memory. In memory of. And as we stand at the day before the recognition and observance of Memorial Day, we remember those who've given their lives. And we do this every month. We remember the one who gave his life for us. And memory, which was mentioned in class this morning, is so important. If you think about it, memory keeps us anchored to who we know. It keeps us anchored to what we know. If each day we woke up and we had no memory of the previous day, what would cause us to keep coming back here? We would not be able to build a single relationship. You see, it takes time and experience, and it takes memories. And so these scriptures are given to us, and we read this throughout the scriptures, that remember how the prophets of old say, remember the captivity of our fathers, remember these testimonies. Lehi brought the records and the plates of brass with him. because he knew that his people would dwindle in unbelief. And it's so true. If a people loses their history, they forget who they are. They forget where they came from. They have no anchor. And what's anchoring them? And so it's so important for us to remember and to have a memory and to pay homage and memorial to those who've gone on before us, and especially to our Savior and to all the prophets and the women and all those who have worked so hard to keep this restoration movement alive. It's not just the men. It's the women too. Esther, Naomi, Ruth. You think about Emma and her sacrifices and her family's life. And so it's not just the men. It's not just the prophets. So our scripture lesson for this week comes from Romans 14. And as I read through this scripture, there's so much in this scripture. And I even approached Joe and I kind of put him on the spot. I said, Joe, what did you have in mind when you put this scripture on there? And he said, well, it was quite a while back when he made out the plan. And so as I read through, I saw various verses that stood out to me. But the ones I think that really stood out was the verse 18, was 17 through 19. For the kingdom is not meat and drink. And you know, if you look at the beginning of this chapter, it says at the heading, self-righteousness forbidden, charity enjoined. And I looked up enjoined, and it means to prescribe an action or attitude to be performed or adopted. Okay? So charity is something that we need to adopt. It's something we need to perform. And so we see that self-righteousness is alive and well. And you know, for us in the gospel, it could perhaps be more so because we have the truth. We have the fullness. And so I did some research and I looked back on Paul's time, because to understand the scriptures, we really need to understand, although they're applicable to our time and they're timeless, I wanted to understand what Paul was. What was he about? What was he doing? And it's interesting, the commentary that I read said that Paul was, of course, we know he was a tent maker, he was a Greek-speaking Jew, and he was a Pharisee, which they believe in life after death. And it's interesting because Paul, at this particular point in his ministry, this book to the Romans, you see the Jews, the Jewish Christians, had become a strong power in the Christian church. Okay, shortly after Jesus, in Jesus' time. But as the pharaohs and the emperors, rather, came to power, they saw that the Jews were becoming an issue once again. And so they disbanded the Jews, they ran them out of Rome. And so the Jewish Christians were made to leave. Well, the Gentile Christians were not. And so the Gentile Christians began to take hold and they became the power. Well, as the Jewish Christians returned, there was this battle. And Paul was trying to create a reconciliation. He was trying to bridge the gap. Because here you have the Jews who had believed in the law of Moses, and they had all these... if we look in chapter 14, he talks about, in verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. And he goes on to talk about, you esteem one day above another, but other men don't esteem one day above another. And so we know that the Jews had certain customs. They had certain days they observed, holy days. They had certain foods they ate and did not eat. But the Gentiles, we know that they didn't observe those laws. And so there was this feud and this battle, and Paul was trying to figure out a way, and he was trying to talk to the people and trying to get them to come together. And they were focusing on their differences, weren't they? And what was he trying to do? He was trying to get them to focus on what they had in common. And that was Jesus Christ. That was his salvation. And brothers and sisters, is there any difference today with us than there was in that day? We have factions so closely believing it the way we do, but yet there's a little bit different. Now, I'm not standing up here, and I don't believe that Paul was telling them commandments aren't important. We know the commandments are important. But we have to stick with what is common. And that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to curb the strife between these two factions. And they were focusing on what was different. He said, the kingdom is not meat and drink. That's temporal. You know, we have commandments. We have laws today. We should do this, do this, but don't do that, don't do that. Those are important. Don't misunderstand me. But do we have a tendency to get hung up in those things which are, they have a purpose, they're symbolic, they point us in a direction, they give us boundaries, but yet we need to focus on the righteousness and the peace and the love and the joy in the Holy Ghost. And you know, it says in the Scriptures that if you can love everybody, then there is no law. Because you're above the law. So how do we become that person? How do we become that people who can rise above and we can see beyond differences and we can work together? Remember, self-righteousness is forbidden. So to become that person, what did we do? We recognized that we had to repent, and we entered into those waters of baptism. And if we haven't done that, we need to consider that. We have to understand that repentance is foundational and fundamental for us to become a new creature. By the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ, we become that new creature. We have a renewed heart. Renewed. The word new is in that word, renewed. And after that, is that all? No, we know the Scripture. Once you've entered in at the gate, is that all? Now it takes self-discipline. Disciplining your life. In Matthew 16, verses 25 and 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And now for a man to take up his cross is to deny himself all ungodliness and every worldly lust and to keep my commandments. No man can serve two masters. We need to be focusing on charity and joined. Remember, we need to be adopting and implementing charity in our lives. You know, Christ showed us great charity, hasn't he? And so what responsibility do we have? We have that responsibility to take that charity he's shown us and to show it to the world around us and to share that with them. We've talked this morning about the kingdom in class, and if we think frankly about this, we will never have the kingdom. We will never be found in the kingdom if we have self-righteousness in us. And so it behooves us to seek after this charity, to focus on the good and focus on the positive. And how much more difficult is it today than ever in our lives to focus on that which is good? To focus on that which is positive. And brothers and sisters, if we can focus on the person standing across from us and we can focus on that soul, And we can see beyond the facade. We can see beyond the mask, and we can see beyond the anger or the pain that they're feeling or even the hostility they're directing at us. Brothers and sisters, this is charity. And when we begin focusing on that, we live in a world that it makes its living on negativity. I even recognize within myself that there are times that we prefer things that are negative. It's almost like it feeds something within us. And the only thing it's feeding is the adversary. And the more we take that within us, the more we feed on that, then the more that the adversary can use that against us, and he can use that. That's our conditioning. And in a world, that in a society where we've grown up and we've been abused or we've been hurt, or we look around and we see all of the things going wrong, and we wonder to ourselves, how much longer can this world take it? Brothers and sisters, the hope and the light is Jesus Christ. I want to challenge each one of you, when we leave this place, to immerse yourself in the gospel more than you ever have before. Brothers and sisters, we keep hearing this over and over again. The time is short. We have no more time to spend on things that don't edify, that don't uplift. We have to be about the Master's work. We have to be about the positioning and the preparation of our souls and helping as many souls around us prepare for this great event that's coming. I'm turning to Psalms 18. Verse 30. O God, thy ways are perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, is a buckler to all those who trust in him. The Lord of the word is tried. Brothers and sisters, stand on the promises of God. Dave Wilkerson, a late great pastor of the Times Square Church, I remember reading a news article he put out, and I remember him saying he went to the Lord in humble prayer, crying out to him, asking him, what can I give these people? The Lord had given him a church. If any of you have never read The Cross and the Switchblade, it's great reading. I would recommend it. It's so inspiring. This man, God took this man from this small town in Pennsylvania and moved him to New York to witness to the gang and to the riffraff and to the lost souls in that city. And the Lord told him, I will give you a church. And he did, right in Times Square. And he said, he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, what can I give this people? What hope can I give them? What do I tell them? And the Lord told him, he said, you tell them to stand on my promises. Brothers and sisters, that is what we have to do, and that is all we will have. We take these scriptures within us so they become a part of us. We treasure up the Word. We feast on the Word of Christ. It becomes a part of us. We become what we eat. And then when the trials come, which trials are coming and trials are here, and we know many in our branch, even in our home branch, are suffering right now, and we suffer with them, and many outside the branches, in our neighboring branches. We are no strangers to pain. But the Lord told us that these tribulations will work patience within us. So brothers and sisters, hold fast to the rod of iron. Treasure up His Word. And from Isaiah 40:8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God endureth forever. Brothers and sisters, His word is tried, and it will endure. And He tells us, stand on my word. Why else does He talk about this foundation that we sang about? We talk about the foundation. We know that this foundation is so important. And that's what we stand on. God never changes. What a wonderful blessing and what a wonderful relief that is. We don't have to wonder where our God is. Sometimes we do. A few verses down in Psalms. Our God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. I should read 31. I'll read 30. O God, thy ways are perfect. The word of the Lord is tried as a buckler to all those who trust in him. Ah, there's the key. Trust. Trust is faith. And God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, gave us a more perfect, a more excellent way, as it talks about in the Book of Mormon, in Ether 5, 4, and 12. That through this faith we're redeemed. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our soul, save our God? Excuse me. Our God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He makes your way perfect. He makes your path perfect. From section 85, 38, C. I want to talk a little bit about charity. Doctrine and Covenants 85, 38, C. And above all things, clothe yourselves with the bonds of charity as with a mantle, which is the bond of perfectness and peace. Pray always that you may not faint until I come. Brothers and sisters, we have to have charity. We have to dig deep. We have to dig deeper than we've ever dug into our souls before. We are stronger than what we think. And that's perhaps and probably why these trials come, to prove to us that we're capable of enduring pain and hardship beyond imagination. But this charity, creates a bond of perfectness and of peace. In Moroni 7, I'll read verse 53. You can go home and read verse 51 and through 53. But in particular 53, which is something I need to remind myself of. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of your heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is purified. Does that interest you? Does that seem enticing to you? Charity is a very difficult thing, and I'm not telling you something you don't already know. One of our brethren once said, "No task is too low or degrading when you really truly love." You know, when I think of the jobs there are out in this world, and I've heard people make comments like, well, you couldn't pay me enough to do that, or I'd never do that, or what have you. You know, when we do it with the right spirit and the right attitude, it doesn't necessarily seem like work, and it doesn't seem degrading, because the greatest example we have is when our master washed the feet of his disciples, one of the lowliest jobs, and he did it. And he didn't think it degrading, but yet he was showing us and teaching us a lesson that we are to serve, and that this is our true calling, is to serve, and that service is sacrifice, and that sacrifice is the basis and foundational also for this charity. Sacrifice. Sacrifice, the greatest way sacrifice is exhibited and shown, or I'm sorry, love and charity, the greatest way it can ever be exhibited is through sacrifice. And once again, we have the perfect example of our Savior. Brothers and sisters, we are to find ourselves engaged in the everyday wears and tears of life with our fellow man until we find ourselves in Zion. Until we find ourselves in Zion. But even then, we will still have that responsibility to one another. We are out in the world and we are tasked with spreading this gospel and sharing this light of Christ. And the day will come that we will be in, that hopefully, God willing, we will be in the kingdom of God. We will be in this Zion. But even then, we will still have the same task, to take care of one another, to help one another, to serve one another. To grow and to develop to where we can finally meet our Creator, the Lord God, face to face. Brothers and sisters, to sit down from all of our labors and all of our trials. Sometimes I sit and I wonder I can't even imagine what it's like to sit. You know, I don't have a lot of aches and pains in my life yet, but if I sit and think, what would it feel like to truly feel no pressure or no weight? Because, you know, even as we sit here, we're relaxed in our pews, and we're at home and relaxing and sleeping or in relaxation. We still have the pressures of life weighing on us, don't we? We still have those stresses and the turmoil of everyday life weighing on us. But you know, when we're touched by the hand of God, when we're touched by His Spirit, we feel those leave us for a moment, don't we? Don't we feel lighter? Don't we feel relieved? Don't we feel redeemed, renewed? That day is coming. But until that day comes, we must continue to bear and help one another bear. Brothers and sisters, we have to take care of one another. We have to break down walls between each other. If we can't love one another, if we can't serve one another, if we can't let one another into each one of our lives, we're missing the point. You know, charity is not just about ignoring yourself and forgetting who you are and ignoring your needs, but charity is about focusing on someone else. And then that person focuses on you, and our needs are automatically and naturally met. Maybe we should be thinking of it in that term. I don't want you to forget about and ignore your own needs. That's not what I'm saying. But this charity is about us focusing on one another. And when we can focus on one another more, perhaps we will feel and find that lightening of our spirit. And brothers and sisters, back to this negativity. We have to root it out of our breast. We have to root it out of our heart. We have to let go. Because this world will swallow us up if we don't turn away from it. It's waiting for us. Brothers and sisters, charity, I admonish you, all of us, to seek after this charity, to turn away from negativity, to turn away from this wickedness that is seeking after us to destroy our souls, because that is exactly what it will do. From Romans 13, verse 8 through 14. Therefore, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is nigh high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the worst works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to gratify the lusts thereof. When we all find ourselves immersed in this gospel, as we should be, all men will agree because of that Holy Ghost that is within us. It will make us one, as the Father and the Son are one. One heart, one mind. Then the Lord will call us Zion. May the Lord add His blessing to these words.
We need, oh. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus, to praise Thy holy name for Your infinite love that You have bestowed upon us, that truly we might be purified when we see the Lord coming in His glory. Father, we're thankful this day for those sacrifices that have been made for this land of liberty. And we trust, Father, that we would use this liberty well in our lives. Trust in Thee and Thy commandments, that truly we might be diligent in seeking Thee out. We're thankful for the beauty of this day, for eyes to see and to ears to hear, and all Your good gifts and blessings that You have bestowed upon Your children. Father, we are so most thankful for. So bless us now as we part, Father, that we truly might remember that sacrifice of Your Son and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that we have been willing to take upon us His name and to worship Him. May You bless Your children now as they return to their homes, that they might take that Spirit with them, that might reside therein, blessing them, encouraging them to that walk of life, holding firm to the rod of iron always. And we pray it all in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.